about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I got up at 5:30 in the a.m. this morning. 5:30 in the goddamn a.m. Y'all wanna know why?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Man, I want some harmonious music. Can you play that beautiful sounding tune of Lisa to brighten my day when she sings Linkin Park? Amazing.
Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up when I'm talking to you! Shut up!
Don't you ever talk about me!
Hello, Lisa.
And now.
What I like about Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla brewst.
Our feature presentation.
All right, good tip. Thank you. Make a note
of
that.
I'm sorry, what was that? The vanilla what?
Vanilla twist.
Burst,
well, I thought he said burst.
He did say burst. You're right. You're right.
Is that a thing? Do they have? I don't get the fancy coffees at Starbucks. Is that a vanilla burst?
Like it matters. I'm not writing it down.
Yeah. This may not be a popular thing to say, but I'm starting to get the Doto itch a little bit.
Oh, it's popular with me.
Really?
Oh,
good.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's been, you know, I'm fine. It scratches, and then I'm good to let it go.
Right.
But then a couple of months go by, and I start to get a little bit of wish there was a little bit of dough in my life.
Right. But then, you know, from the time we start reaching out until the time we get him on the show is another 8 months.
Right. Right. Exactly.
So you're certainly ready by then.
He is the international man of mystery. That's true. And he is almost impossible.
What would you need him for?
Almost impossible to get a hold of. But I'm about ready. I'm about ready for some dough. So let me put the word out to the King of Mexico, see if we can start the process. Start getting in touch with his people.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday morning.
You guys remember that Boxing Day, December 26th, day after Christmas, I got up out of bed and fell and broke 3 ribs. And that's been a lot of fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that reminds me that we did that phone-in topic not long after we got back after the holidays with people who got hurt in just crazy, stupid ways. Like, there's no reason to suspect that stepping out of your car or standing up to shake somebody's hand or whatever it is would end up with a broken bone or falling down or getting hurt or whatever. And it happens all the time to everybody. Everybody gets hurt at some point.
Right.
Here's a guy who gets up out of bed in the morning. He's putting on his clothes, and he bursts into flames.
What?
Now,
For reals?
For reals. Now, that's unexpected, right?
He's a spontaneous combustion?
Well, that was the fear. You know, that's one of my great worries in life is spontaneous combustion is going to turn out to be real. I'm terrified of that because I already have the spontaneous bleeding. You know that.
One doesn't lead to the other, I don't think.
I know, but I can't explain the stigmata. I certainly couldn't explain the spontaneous combustion. If it happens, I'm terrified it's going to happen to me. This is a 78-year-old man who I'm looking at pictures of him in the hospital being treated for his injuries at the Northern Jingsu People's Hospital. His relatives say what happened was he got up out of bed. He's in China. By the way, his name is Wen Chung. Wen Chung is his name.
Everybody Wen Chung tonight.
So 78-year-old Wen Chung gets out of bed, and he starts to put his clothes on, and they think what happened is that there was static electricity in his clothes and that he concurrently had a gas leak in his home. So apparently static electricity is like lighting a match if you're around gas, and it just blew up.
Wow.
The explosion could be felt 300 meters away.
Wow.
That's several apartments down. He had second and third degree burns to his face, neck, and hands. Some of the injuries were caused, his relatives say, by his attempts to put the fire out with his hands.
Okay.
So he was trying to stop the flames from spreading, and he's just, you know, patting them down, trying to get it to stop like you do. And, of course, that ended up catching him more on fire and spreading. So, yeah, so he's in the hospital. 3 doors fell down. Glass in the window broke into pieces. They think the static electricity for Mr. Chung's clothes ignited fumes that had been leaking from a faulty pipe. So maybe he would have died that day or something if he hadn't caught on fire. Who knows what happens when you have a gas leak? Is it the type of thing that you slowly get tired?
Did the apartment go up or just the dude?
It doesn't say, I mean, it's, you know, it certainly sounds like there had to be some fire damage in the apartment as well, but it doesn't specifically mention how much damage was done just to him. The article also points out that lightning is an extreme example of static electricity caused by ice particles rubbing together in storm clouds, but even a small amount of static electricity, as the horrific case of Mr. Chung shows, can be a life-threatening hazard. So there's a dude just getting up in the morning, putting on his clothes, next thing you know, boom, in the hospital with life-threatening injuries.
Yeah, you usually have a pretty good idea of what the day's going to be like when you get up.
Some sort of
and
heads
it
up.
Never, ever involves your setting yourself on fire.
No, this was a bad surprise for Mr. Chung. So Mr. Chung did not have fun tonight.
Is that why we can't supposedly get in and out of our car while we're putting in gas? Static electricity?
I think it's exactly the same reason. Yeah, that's why people don't want you on your cell phones for whatever reason around cars. And we used to think that was an urban legend, but then we saw a video of it happening, of somebody's car blowing up when he got out of his cell phone, remember?
Yep.
Because of static electricity. So just one more thing for you to worry about. Yesterday it was zombie snakes, and today it's you'll be set on fire if you get dressed.
That's hot.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Well, when you say it like that, yeah, it sounds terrible.
Adam Carolla will be on the program with This Week in Rage. We have Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings talking about the Dodger game this Saturday.
Yeah.
It's not a Dodger game. It's at Dodger Stadium.
Right.
Playing the Ducks. They were playing the Dodgers. That would be super cool.
Yeah.
You may have to talk Luke into coming out of retirement if the Kings keep playing the way they're playing this week.
Well, you have bad runs. It's all right.
I know you do, but to Columbus?
Oh, come on. They're pretty good. They won like six in a row.
Okay.
Ken Ehrlich will be on the program today. He is the executive producer of the Grammys.
Oh, all right.
How about that?
That has to be like wrangling cats to try to get all those performers to be in the right place at the right time for that TV show Sunday night.
My Strange Addiction, eating diapers.
Oh, I don't want to hear that.
Really?
Well, it's going to happen. So
others can listen. I choose not to.
You might as well just enjoy. Here's the thing. It's not quite as gross as you think.
I hope not.
No, it isn't. So.
Okay.
Who's Khloe Kardashian's father? The list is growing.
Well, I think we know who her father is. Her father was Rob Kardashian, O.J. Simpson's former attorney.
You mean baby daddy.
Baby daddy. I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, that's what he's saying. I got you. Who is her baby daddy? I'm surprised that she has more than one option, to be honest with you.
Apparently several.
And weird places you had sex. There was a couple going at it at Staples Center. And they got caught.
Awesome. Well done.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's skating for America, but I think he's literally the first American ice skater of all the ice skaters who have skated for with Cuban blood. I think he's
That was a moment with Bean.
Times.
Too early to tell, but that's got to be in contention for number one of the year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to beat.
Please. Be very proud.
Please. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, Ralph is here, and that means it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, this is embarrassing for AMC Cinemas and for the Department of Homeland Security.
Why?
Ohio man is at the AMC Cinemas in Columbus, Ohio with his wife. He's watching Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. And he's wearing his Google glasses. Are you familiar with the Google glasses?
Sure.
A little bit, yeah.
Yes.
The Google glasses are, they look like an eyeglass frame, basically. But then over onto one side and dropped in front of you, sort of like this plastic cube. And what it does is it gives you a computer screen in your field of vision. While you're also looking at the real world, you also incorporate this computer screen off of this plastic.
Okay.
So you're fiber optic cube in front of your eye.
So you're looking at a desktop as well as what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, so you can literally use Google or check your email or whatever you want to do just with your eyes.
Yeah. About an hour into the showing, federal agents showed up.
Oh.
Snatched the glasses from his face and escorted him out of the cinema. Then, around 10 cops who had him in custody accused him of using the glasses to illegally record the film, engaging in piracy.
Oh, interesting.
Is that right?
They want to know who I am, where I live, where I work, how much I'm making, how many computers I have at home, why am I recording the movie, who am I giving the recording to, why don't I just give up the guy, because they're not interested in me. They want the big boss. 3 hours of interrogation later.
Wow.
They finally plugged his glasses into a computer and found all that was on there was a few photos of his dog and his wife. He was then quickly released and given a pair of free movie passes. Oh, well, that makes sense nice. For it. That's gonna reflect well in the courtroom.
Yeah.
It's odd that Dave the King of Mexico would not mention that, at least to one of us.
As he records movies.
Oh, he was the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Ah.
Law enforcement is very uncomfortable with these Google glasses. I've heard several stories. In fact, California just had the first in the nation just this week with a woman who was given a ticket for having Google glasses on while she was driving, and she went to court, fought it, and won. Because they were trying to say it was distracted driving and she shouldn't be allowed to. And her defense was they weren't on. She had them on her face like you would have an earphone for a phone, but she wasn't talking to anybody. She said they weren't on. So they said, well, we can't prove that they were on or not, so we're going to let you go.
Plus, she's a cyborg.
Is that?
Well, that could have been, yeah. As well.
Looks like practical joke time in Hollywood. Sofia Vergara. Poor Sofia Vergara. Exhausted, just partying so much at all these award show events, just having a grand old time. Dozed off while on a break from filming this week. Modern Family. Left a tissue over her face while she was snoozing. Unfortunately, the entire rest of her cast of co-workers saw a golden opportunity.
Sure.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Ty Burrell, Eric Stone Street, and Julie Bowen all took a photo with her and then promptly posted it on Instagram. So you get to see the cast and her and them pointing and mocking and laughing while she's
they did the right thing.
Of course.
You see somebody like that and you go, okay, all those ideas are coming through your mind. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Because you have to do something.
I would have done something else while she was sleeping.
Yeah.
That tissue would have gone to good use.
Oh. I'm uncomfortable with this conversation.
As am I.
Understand.
All right.
I would have blown my nose.
Oh, I see.
See, because that's what you use tissues for, right?
Oh, right. That's true.
George Clooney did the right thing as well. While on the set of The Monuments Men, Matt Damon revealed to People magazine that George played a little bit of a trick on him while they were filming. Every other day, George would command the wardrobe people to go into Matt Damon's trailer and take in all of his clothes an eighth of an inch.
Matt Damon
trying to drop a few pounds. Instead, he started believing that he was packing them on. He increased his diet and exercise, whoever kept gaining weight, Matt said, because his clothes got tighter and tighter and tighter.
That's awesome.
Until George finally admitted what he had been doing. It's pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
That's the Clune dog for you right there.
Yep.
Boom. Boom, I said. And good news for geeks. The CW's Flash series has just added another cast member. Former Law & Order star Jesse L. Martin will be on the show. Hollywood Reporter says he will be playing a surrogate father to Barry Allen, who, of course, is The Flash. I don't have to tell you guys.
Of course.
Looks like that show's going full steam ahead. Did you see the Arrow episode where
The
Flash became The Flash?
I did.
Very exciting.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Beverly Mitchell is 33 years old today.
Who is she, Ralph?
She's Beverly Mitchell. She's an actress.
Oh, yes.
And she is 33 years old.
Willa Ford, the singer and actress, Willa Ford.
Yes.
Okay. We had Willa in here. What project was she in? Was it Magic City? I think she was in Magic City, I believe.
Or that sounds right.
Yeah,
it was some period piece. Yeah, I like her very much.
Balthazar Getty, 39 years old today. Gabriel Macht from Suits is 42. DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right, we heard you.
He's 49 years old. Actress Diane Lane is also 49. Actress Linda Blair, still best known for being 12 years old and throwing up pea soup, is 55 years old. Steve Perry from Journey, he's 65 years old today.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
And actor John Hurt turns 74. Most recently seen as one of the doctors on Doctor Who. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Vampire Weekend on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:08.
Can I just say no now and just I'm speaking for the audience this time?
No. No, you cannot.
Look, a couple weeks ago, Dave was circulating a photo of a man with no butt crack, and I wouldn't look at that either. There are just some lines that need to be drawn, and this woman from My Strange Addiction is over my line. I don't want to hear about this.
My Strange Addiction from the TLC Network. which of course is the Freak Network.
My name is Keisha, and I'm expecting my first child, and I love sniffing and chewing dirty diapers.
Well, she's got to be in heaven. She's expecting her first child.
She's pregnant.
Where was she getting? I have so many questions for this woman that I don't want to know anything about. Where was she getting the dirty diapers from before if she hasn't had a baby?
She has friends, and they have babies, and she'll walk into the house and say, oh, that diaper needs to be changed. I'll take that one. And she also goes through trash cans.
Oh.
Really? I keep some in my trunk. I keep some in my pocketbook. If I go out to eat, I have a diaper. This is good.
It's nasty.
She's even willing to dig in the garbage for her diapers.
It came from my kid, and I don't even want it near me.
I'm going to smell them just one last time.
No.
Guess who that guy is?
Is that her husband?
Uh-uh.
Who's that?
Fiance. This chick who smells and chews diapers has somebody who's going to marry her.
What is wrong with him?
I may regret asking this question.
Away.
But how are these diapers dirty?
Well, this might surprise you, Bean. It's not quite as bad as you thought. It's a number one.
Okay.
Okay, a little better.
There's no two involved.
All right.
Okay, good.
You know, when you're going through the trash for diapers, you're going to run across a two.
Right, well, right. You toss it back, I think.
Right, but you're going through the dirty diapers.
Well, that is happening.
Holy crap.
It has to have pee in it. This one's soft.
Come on. I couldn't even be her friend.
I couldn't either. You think there...
He's not trying to get over this?
You think there was a meeting at the TLC network where they debated whether they could put this on television or not?
They're like, you know what? This may be too much.
It may be too much.
But they don't...
Maybe too strange an addiction.
But they don't show a lot of it. There's not a lot of explicit conversation about exactly how she does it. She just finds it pleasing.
Right, but she's putting diapers in her mouth and sucking on them. Urine-soaked diapers.
Well, don't make it worse. Let's go with number one, Bean.
Okay.
Because that makes everything better.
I want to take this one off of her here. Oh, my God.
She's going to cry.
We're going to take this one off. Yeah, this is ready to go.
This is ready to go. Now, that's her best friend who has a kid.
Oh, God.
So she goes over and literally takes the baby and changes the diaper because it's, quote, ready to go.
She wants it.
Yeah.
How can you... I can't...
How would you ever begin something like this?
My addiction to diapers started about 3 years ago. One of my friends was changing her baby, and she gave me the diaper to throw out. And I kept it for like a week, and I smelt it like every morning, night.
This is the editorial music. One of her friends gave her a diaper to throw away that minute. She kept it for a week.
Oh,
what's going on?
Are you guys kidding?
It's weird. It's gross. You really have to stop. Because that's embarrassing.
Yeah. Fiance and friend.
Now, guys, this is mental illness, right?
I would guess so.
It is.
So as in all shows with My Strange Addiction, they either take you to a doctor or a therapist. In this particular place, they went right for the therapist. I didn't worry about the doctor.
Explain it to me. Tell me. You have the diaper.
Like I actually have one.
So let me see. So you sniff and then you...
Okay, so she actually has a diaper in her purse at the time when she goes to therapy.
And then you nibble? Well, how do you feel now that you're about to give birth and have your own supply?
I feel great.
It's all good. Why would I feel any different?
Right.
And that's everybody's biggest concern is she's about to give birth, and that means endless supply of this particular problem.
We may never be able to stop this woman from having babies.
Let's find out what the therapist's advice is for somebody who is... doing this.
This may not be what you want to hear, but if something is detrimental to your health, unborn child, your relationship, then it should be stopped.
Should be stopped. Mm-hmm. That's okay. A surprise. No one could have seen that coming from the doctor or therapist. All right, here's where we guess. Let's have at it, people.
Oh, there's no way she gives it
Does
up.
Does she quit?
She is delighted with her addiction. She loves it.
I don't think so either. When she's got that supply right around the corner,
yeah,
there's no way this
she's
is
like,
the perfect time.
This baby can't come soon enough.
Yeah, you don't quit skiing on your way to Aspen, all right?
The therapist, she helped me to realize it's more to it than just myself.
Huh? Huh?
What?
Maybe a breakthrough?
I do want to stop, but it's going to take time.
Yeah.
She's still doing it to this day.
Yep. My Strange Addiction. Oh,
good boarded. Good boarded.
Yum, yum, yum.
Fabulous. Outstanding. Wonderful. Terrific. Good boarded.
Who's hungry?
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage on the program today. Our friend Luke Robitaille from the front office of the Los Angeles Kings will be here in a little while. And we'll talk to Ken Ehrlich coming up next. He is, once again, executive producing the Grammys. They're on Sunday night, CBS. Now, when we have Ken on in a few minutes here, Kevin, are you going to take this opportunity to try to get your job back?
No, I'm not.
How are the Grammys still on the air without you doing the announcing from the booth?
It's very possible that I burned that bridge.
Really? I thought they loved you. It's
very possible.
How many years did you announce the Grammys?
I don't know, like three or four. Once with you, and then Bean realized it's not for him, and he pulled out. He's like,
"Oh, it's a terrible job for the person doing the voiceover work
because you have to record a certain amount of it, and then if things change, they bring you the copy, and then you get to do it live and blah blah blah."
Yeah, and you're sitting in a tiny little room in the bowels of Staples Center, and you're not really seeing. I guess you see the show on a tiny little monitor or something like that, and you're just sitting there waiting for whatever you're supposed to do next. It's not a fun evening at all.
I didn't hate it as much as Bean did, and I like the behind the scenes stuff. I like to see what's going on behind the scenes that the people don't realize.
Yeah.
And so that kept me for another two or three years. Why did they keep me? I don't have any idea.
Well, you're good at reading copy, right? Well,
that's true. That probably is my strength. No, what happens is they lead in the week leading up to the Grammys, you record a bunch of stuff and then they only use it, they only change it if something changes and then you have to do it live. But for the most part, you do a lot of pre-recording, and I was not great at the pre-recording part of the show.
Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. To vote for Africa Miranda, send the number one. To vote for Brenda Radney, send the number one. Send the number two. Coming up, Mary J. Blige in a once... God it. Mary J. Blige in a once-of-a-lifetime performance. Sorry, people. I think it's... Yeah, I also think I screwed up the word one. Coming up next... An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey.
By the way, can you imagine the people that are working with me at the time? Like, these are people who are professionals at what they
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. Yes.
And the script supervisor and an engineer that are there, and they've got all kinds of experience, and they're great at what they do.
Now, was that additional pressure for you, having all these eyes on you, and you're supposed to read it right?
Yeah, because once you start going down the bad road, which is where I start, by the way, at the opening of the bad road, it gets worse because now you feel like, oh man, these guys are really going to think I'm an idiot. They're really must be frustrated with this because we could have been gone an hour ago and they're sitting around waiting through dinner time for me to read Corinne Bale Ray's name.
Right.
I still don't know how you say it.
Wow.
With Carrie Underwood and Riscoe Flats.
Okay, I said both those names wrong. Sorry, again.
Ludacris. The 49th Annual Grammy Awards will continue. An
Let's do it again.
No, you're not crazy. It's Gnarls Barkley.
No, I want to do it again. That's vodka and Red Bull for 4 days in a row in Miami. I could quite possibly die during this recording session.
An I would like to say my own defense.
Yes.
I thought I had a couple of days, but I had gone to the Super Bowl in Miami the weekend before. I finally got back from that like Tuesday or Monday night or something really late, and I just needed to sleep.
Yes.
And they called on the way home from the airport and said, "You're on your way, right?" And I was like, "What?"
What?
And I had to go straight there and record. Now, having said that, we've all heard me talk. That certainly was not out of the ordinary, unfortunately. Here's some more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph.
Okay, now that's the voice of the woman who's the script supervisor, and she's really good at what she does. She's organized. She knows exactly what's going on. And she's sitting there trying to get me to understand what the names are. There's only three of them.
Now, by the way, I want you to play that clip again all from right. the beginning, if you could, because listen to how out of patience she already is with you on the first name.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Robert Rudolph.
Randolph?
Yes, sure enough it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Steven Tyler, John Perry, and Robert Randolph.
Joe Perry.
What did I say, John?
Shit.
This doesn't sound real.
I know. That's why I had him put it on a CD for me. I said, the guys will never believe this. You have to put this on a CD.
This is why they have rehearsals.
Kevin, what's wrong with you?
They may have chosen the wrong guy.
Oh. It only took them 3 years to realize that.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's great. Now I'm not going to be able to watch the Grammys without being sad that you're not in the booth. Yes. By the way, I don't care who they have doing it right this year. It's not going to be as much fun as the way you did. Because you brought a little piece of specialness to the show.
Is that what you call it?
Yes, it is.
The executive producer of the Grammys, Ken Ehrlich, is next on 106.7. K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:38.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rodney, we gotta go.
Oh, good.
Right. We have a guest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh.
All right. Thank you very much, Rodney. The 56th Annual Grammy Awards are happening this Sunday night on CBS. Kevin, did you know it's music's biggest night?
I did know that, Bean.
It is music's biggest night. Yeah. We are very excited to welcome our friend Ken Ehrlich back to the program. He is executive producing for the, if I have this right, 10th year in a row. Hi, Ken. Welcome to K-Rock, my friend. How are you?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He speaks Rodney.
That's the legendary Rodney Bingenheimer right there. Ken, I don't know if you know him or not, but he's a classic.
It's actually my 34th year, but what's 24 years?
34th year.
I know you've been working with the Grammys that long, but you've only been executive producing for 10, according to my paperwork.
True, but I've been producing the show for...
Oh, I know. I know you're the man. You are Mr. Grammy. I get that. Well, we're fine, and we're always happy to have you on because you're a man who speaks his mind. And we were saying earlier that your job on Grammy night must be like wrangling cats, except wrangling cats with enormous egos.
Well, I'm glad you added the word egos. It's you know what? I wish I could explain it. It actually goes the other way. I think it's something about either it's my personality or whatever. The closer we get to this thing, the calmer I get. I mean, I'm more crazed about it in the pre-production period and getting closer to it and trying to get this stuff nailed down and trying to get, you know, this one to perform with that one, trying to get this, you know, down 30 seconds or trying to open up time for this production or whatever. And once we hit the stage and once it starts getting up there, I think it has something to do with how exciting it is when you're down there and you begin to see these things actually become real.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a calm that comes into it. I'm not going to say there's not an energy, but there's a real, you know, it's just, it just works that way. It works in reverse for me.
But you have a lot of moving parts on that night, especially. And once it starts getting going, you don't panic a little bit about whether all of the moving parts are going to be where they need to be?
Well, I panic when someone doesn't want to come out of their dressing room at 8:04 or something. Yeah, I guess that could be a problem. But for the most, of course I worry. But, you know, it's really a great, competent group of people that have been doing the show for a long time. And I trust them, and they know what they have to do. And, you know, if it ain't right then, it's not going to be right. And the fact of the matter is, you expect a certain amount of play here. You know, we look for those moments that go mildly wrong. We don't want them to go terribly wrong, but we love the idea that the show is loose enough and that artists who do the show are comfortable enough with what they're doing on our show that they can feel a little bit freer than maybe they would be on another show.
One of the reasons, Ken, that the Grammys are so great and why the ratings have been so good the last few years is you have put together these Grammy moments where you take disparate artists that never have performed together before and you put them up there on stage. And I don't know how some of these come together. Can you talk for a moment about what you've got Metallica doing Sunday night?
Metallica's going to be with Long Long, the Chinese pianist, who is, I always have to be careful how I say that word.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. He's amazing. And the way that that came together, I'd love to take credit for it, but the fact of the matter is that Metallica's manager was in China, and he was meeting with a guy who works with Long Long, and, you know, they brought it up to him, you know, would Long Long maybe want to do something with Metallica. And kind of coincidentally, when he came back here, and we had been to China in March and had met with the same guy, and in conversation, I called Peter Mensch, who's Metallica's manager, and said, you know, I'm interested in him, because I loved the movie that they did this year. It was really great. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, would you be interested in them with Long Long? And I said, perfect. And so they're actually going to do one, which is the song that they did on the Grammys 24 years ago, without Long Long, but this time they're going to do it with him, and it's just, I've heard the scratch track. I haven't, you know, obviously I have not seen them do it together yet, but I think it's going to be a great performance.
This Ken Ehrlich on the phone here on the Kevin DeBean Show. He's executive producer of the 56th Annual Grammy Awards, airing this Sunday night on CBS. Another great thing about the show, Ken, and I know you like it this way, is it's wall-to-wall music. I mean, you barely come up for air to give away some Grammys, right? I mean, you cram as many performances into the time you have as possible.
Yeah. By the way, I think now all the shows do that. I mean, I'm not sure they did it when we started doing it, but... You know, I think that's what people. I certainly don't want to disregard the awards, because the rationale is, you know, once the event nature of it says we're giving out some awards. People like events. People like awards. But we know that what people really want to see on the show are the performances. And
right.
And granted, you know, that's really what we're there for, and that's what the artists are there for, because. It used to be about selling records, you know,
right.
And the artists would come up and do their single and blah, 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 and that would be it. I think what's happened now, and I'm happy that I think we were a part of it, that now artists look at this as an opportunity to build their careers and to build their live persona, so that people go out and pay money to see them live, you know, buy the records, that's fine, buy the CDs, download the, you know, the stuff, but... The reality is, get those seats into those arenas. And the only way you can do that is to show how great you are live on stage.
And one of the things that you're doing Sunday night that no one else has been able to do in the last 6 months is get Daft Punk to perform on television. That's unbelievable that that's happening, and with some very special guests.
Yeah, they, you know, the last time they were on television performing was on our show with Kanye, you know, and that was seven years ago. And I didn't even think they would want to do it. So I didn't really pursue them, and I got this call sometime over the summer. I knew they were going to get nominated. It was obvious that record was such a big hit.
Right.
And, but I didn't go after them, and I got this call late in the summer from their manager saying, you know, the guys don't do television. They're not going to do anything else. But they, you know, they'd be interested in doing something on the Grammys if you were interested. And we started talking, and we've developed this number that, you know, is, again, one of our kind of signature mashup numbers.
Stevie Wonder, by the way, among those performing, if I read correctly, is that right with Daft Punk?
Yes, it is.
Amazing. All right, we're going to let you go in 1 minute, Ken. Last question, and this is maybe completely out of your hands. The Grammys are one of the final award shows that are not aired live across the country. How come? Why are they taped late to the West Coast?
You know, there's a lot of speculation about that. You know, I'm probably one of the few people that actually kind of like it, because what I see happening with our show is everybody's online talking about it, so that we're building an audience for when we go on live here. No.
8 o'clock, CBS, Sunday night, the 56th Annual Grammy Awards, executive produced and co-written by Ken Ehrlich. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin DeBean Show, sir. Thanks for stopping
Great
by.
Take care, guys. Thank you,
Ken.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeBean Show at 6:56.
Ralph Garman, Showbiz Beat, go.
Come on! Get in the future! Stop watching DVDs. What's wrong with you? It's Blu-ray, man. It's a Blu-ray world. We live in a world of Blu-rays.
Right? Who are you talking to?
People who don't watch Blu-rays.
Okay.
Don't have a Blu-ray player. What's wrong with you not having a Blu-ray player? Put your big pants on. Get a Blu-ray player.
The good thing about Blu-ray players is they do play your old DVDs as well.
And you know what else they play? Blu-rays.
They do that as well, yes.
All right. Now that I've berated you, let me fix you.
How would you like a brand new Samsung Smart Blu-ray Player?
Yay!
I'm just going to give it to you. Just give it to you. That's all. I'm not going to make you do things for it. There's going to be no sexual favors.
What?
Nothing in a back alley behind a dumpster.
That's how it always works with you.
No, just giving it away.
Huh.
The Samsung Smart Blu-ray Player. Plus, I'm going to throw in something to watch. Because let's say you don't have any Blu-rays because you don't own a Blu-ray player. I'm going to give you the player, and I'm going to give you a copy of The Following, the complete first season, which is now in stores on Blu-ray. Following, starring, of course, Kevin Bacon, returns on Monday, January the 27th at 8 p.m. on Fox 11. So here's your chance to catch up on the first season on Blu-ray with your brand new Samsung Smart Blu-ray player. Pretty cool, if I say so myself. Call me right now. 1-800-520-1067, caller number E11. 11. We'll get that prize package with my best wishes and my sincerest apologies for making fun of you earlier for not having a Blu-ray player.
If you haven't seen that series, it's a good one to binge watch.
It is. You catch all up on it, and then you start to watch the new stuff, but they're all wearing Joe's face. Freaky. And they all suck diapers, I've heard, too.
Nope.
All those people. Very, very strange.
Nope, very different.
Quentin Tarantino has announced he will not be making the next movie he said he was going to make, The Hateful Eight, the ensemble Western. Everybody was looking forward to because it was going to be like a Magnificent Seven-esque kind of ensemble. Western, cool thing, shootout, six guns, bad guys, good guys. Not happening now.
What happened?
Why? Why? Why, you may ask?
Why?
Someone leaked the script and now it's online.
Oh,
that's some BS right there. I'm very, very depressed, said Quentin. I finished the script, first draft. I didn't mean to shoot it until next winter, a year from now. So I gave it to six people. And apparently it's gotten out today. Well, who leaked it is the question. Quentin says he thinks he knows who. I only gave it to three actors, Michael Madsen, Bruce Dern, and Tim Roth. The one I know didn't do this is Tim Roth.
Okay.
One of the others let their agent read it, and that agent has now passed it on to everyone in Hollywood. I don't know how these effing agents work, but I'm not making this next, he said.
Wow.
So we won't be getting The Hateful Eight.
I can understand his frustration.
Because of people like you, Kevin.
What are you talking about?
What did Kevin do? He's not involved.
Your piracy.
I am not a pirate.
You are a pirate. Just the other day, I saw you walk around with a peg leg and a patch over your eye.
Oh, that kind of pirate I am.
Yeah. Congratulations to Ringo Starr. He was honored Monday night at the El Rey Theater in Los Angeles with the Lifetime of Peace and Love Award given by David Lynch's foundation.
That's a thing?
This is a foundation to advance the cause of transcendental meditation. It was also David Lynch's birthday party, and he brought Ringo in to honor him with the Lifetime of Peace and Love Award. And I think Ringo deserves it because, to the best of my knowledge, he never once started a war.
I think that's accurate.
And I think he loves everybody. Paul McCartney and Yoko Ono sent videos of praise to the event. They didn't show up because it's, you know, Ringo. And Olivia Harrison, George's wife, was in the audience as well. Here's what David Lynch had to say about Ringo.
Everybody loves Ringo. Not just because he's a Beatle, not just because he's one of the tastiest drummers ever, but because he radiates peace and love.
Then there was a big all-star jam playing all of Ringo's biggest hit. Ben Folds, Joe Walsh, Peter Frampton, Kenny Aronoff, Steve Lukather from Toto, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers keyboard player was there. Everybody got together and gave a tribute to Ringo. So congratulations, Ringo. We live in Ringo's world, man.
I don't think that's technically true.
Nope. Today's celebrity birthdays, Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven is 33 years old today. Actress Willa Ford.
Oh, Willa Ford.
She was on Magic City. I miss Magic City. I'm going to start a website to bring it back.
Good.
Yeah.
Wait for a couple of years, though.
I can't live without Magic City being on here. I'm high
going to get high tonight, though. I'm going to get very high tonight. I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. Like, I'm like motherf***ing Tupac.
There are so many differences between Nick and Tupac.
No, they're the same.
Can't even start down that path.
Balthazar Getty's 39 years old today. DJ Jazzy Jeff, 49 years old. Think the Fresh Prince takes his phone calls anymore?
Oh, I think they're still good friends.
Are they?
Yeah.
Diane Lane is 49 years old today. Linda Blair of The Exorcist fame is 55 years old. John Hurt, most recently seen as one of the doctors in the Day of the Doctor, Doctor Who special, 74 years old. And singer Steve Perry, lead singer, longtime lead singer for Journey, until he was replaced by a petite Asian man.
Filipino dude sounds just like
remarkable.
Him.
Remarkable sound alike. 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Let's talk about Khloe Kardashian. She's pregnant. Who's the father? That's the question. Lamar says, not me. Not me.
I've been out of there.
But apparently they got divorced just a couple of months ago, so it is possible that it could be him, depending on how far along she is.
Mm-hmm.
But then she also has hooked up with good friends Matt Kemp and The Game, she says.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Khloe has been busy post separation, it sounds like.
Yes, so she is saying, not sure.
Oh, boy.
Don't know.
That's fun.
Sounds like a new Maury Povich.
It sure does.
Episode that they ought to be shooting.
We wanted to find out more about this. Of course, we're very close with Khloe, and I believe producer Dave has her on the phone right now. Khloe Kardashian, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hello, Miss Khloe. How's?
Oh, Hello, I'm
can
sorry.
Can I help you?
Yes, is Khloe home?
Hold on, please, one second.
Okay.
Miss Khloe, telephone operator.
That wasn't Lupita. She's not cheating on you, is she, Kevin?
Not that I'm aware of.
Here comes Khloe.
Hello.
Hi,
Khloe.
Hi,
Ryan. Hi, Ellen Kay.
Nope. Hi, Khloe.
Nope. Still Kevin
Hi,
and Bean.
Ellen.
No, it's nope. Kevin
it's
and Bean.
It's Lisa, but whatever.
Hi, Carson.
Nope. It's Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Frosty.
That's not important. All right.
Hi, Heidi. Hi, Frank.
Khloe. Khloe?
Yeah?
Are you pregnant?
Of course I'm pregnant.
You are. Congratulations. I wasn't even sure if that part of the story had been confirmed yet.
I'm as fertile as the Serengeti.
Okay, well, well done. Isn't the Serengeti a desert, though?
I don't know. I've never been there. Okay. It's fertile in some place that's fertile.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you
are
pregnant.
The Amazon basin.
That sounds fertile. Sure.
Yeah.
Now, you've been wanting to have a baby for a long time, if the tabloids are to be believed.
Yes, because all the other girls have attention because they have babies. So now I want baby attention as well.
Okay, well, that's a good that reason sense. To have a kid.
That's what I said.
Right. Right. So you and your husband, though, are well on your way to divorce. You're officially separated and filed.
Yes, officially.
So are you raising this child alone?
Well, it's not born yet. So I'm not raising it at all.
Right. But I meant, is that your
in my belly. That's how it works.
Okay.
That's science.
I think he means when it's born, is someone going to be there to help you raise it?
Of course, the baby's daddy will be there.
And who is that?
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Who's the daddy?
Okay, you go.
The name of the father is?
Your turn.
The child's papa is going to be?
Yes.
Lamar Odom.
No. No, and Lamar and I have been together for some time.
Okay.
All right. When the baby's birth certificate is filled out,
right.
The name that goes in above where the words father is,
yes.
is
going to
be what? It's going
right.
to be what?
Is going to be Matt Kemp.
No.
Okay.
No. Not Matt Kemp of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Scratch that off the list.
No.
Okay. All right. You were impregnated after a night of passionate lovemaking with whom?
Right.
With...
Look, I don't know.
The game.
That's why we're here at the house. You can hear the test tubes going in the background. We're running all the DNA.
Oh, you are? Okay.
We're running DNA just of everyone I've been with just trying to come up with something.
It sounds like there's a lot of tests running.
There are. There's a lot of guys.
All right.
Because I'm a love machine.
Right.
I don't work for nobody but you.
I'm not sure the rest of us see you that way, but okay, good for you.
Well, all my men do, and they're all lined up here just waiting to get their turn to take the test.
Oh,
all right, Max.
Who's there?
I need your DNA, please.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, wow.
What?
That's right.
Al Pacino?
I'm here to give DNA.
Al Pacino?
Ooh,
Well, swab my cheek.
Why would you be dating Kim Kardashian? Or Khloe?
She's got a huge ass.
Oh, Khloe. Yes, of course.
Wait a minute. I was with Khloe?
Yes.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, yeah. Better hope that comes back negative.
All right. Step up and give your sample, Al.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right,
next. Who's up next?
Okay, who else is there?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, giving another sample of DNA to her.
Arnold?
Yeah, second helping, if you will.
Why
Maybe
am I not...
Maybe she'll have twins.
Come on, Arnold.
She'll have, Arnold Jr.
Right.
And then he'll go to kindergarten.
Right.
And be a cop.
Right. Yeah, we're familiar with your movies.
You
yes.
know that bulge in his stomach?
Right.
Yeah. It's not a tumor.
Okay.
Not at all. It's a baby.
Right. Okay. I'm not at all surprised to find Arnold there in the DNA lineup, by the way. I'll tell you that.
No, neither am I. next, who's giving up next to DNA?
Okay.
Oh, this is Larry Flint.
Larry?
What?
Yeah.
Larry Flint.
That's what I said.
Right. I'm surprised with all the beautiful hustler honeys you have available that you would ever even look at Khloe Kardashian.
Well, it wasn't so much a direct interaction. I think I could have got her pregnant.
Okay, what was it?
She may have sat down to play cards at the Hustler Casino.
I see. Is that one of the side effects?
We haven't wiped down those chairs in a while.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Jackpot.
Does that mean you win?
No, it's a casino joke.
I got you. All right. So you're there to give some DNA then. So that's all working for you there.
Or,
even
you know, take pictures, whatever.
Right. Like you do.
Like
all right.
I do. You want more guys?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I'd like them all. I'd like them all day. You to get up. Sorry, Larry. I didn't want to rush you.
If I could get up, we wouldn't be in this problem.
That's true.
That's from their excellent Mechanical Bull album. You can see the band at the Forum, by the way, on March 21st with local natives opening up. There are still some tickets available, which is a surprise to me because Kings of Leon are great in concert. You will enjoy them very much if you go.
Yeah, they're really good. Apparently, they sound like the Yardbirds.
Well, I don't know about that. Kevin, you weren't at this Lakers game that's in the news from a few days ago against the Nuggets at Staples Center, were you?
I don't think so, no.
Apparently, security was called. A woman was outraged. She was in the ladies' bathroom in the VIP area, and she went to security, and she said, hey, guys, you need to check this out. There's a couple in the next stall doing it. And sure enough, a man and a woman were busted at Staples Center. Security knocked on the stall door, ordered them to get out. They were escorted from the VIP area. Radar Online reports the couple, quote, didn't even look embarrassed. Because why would you? There's probably high fives all around as you're, people are applauding as you walk out.
It was probably the most exciting thing that happened that night for a Laker fan.
It might have been, yeah. No word on whether there was any kind of an arrest or repercussions other than they were escorted out of the VIP area. But I guess, look, this is well out of my wheelhouse, this topic. But I guess sometimes the urge just strikes you and you just got to go for it wherever you are, right?
And it's they just met. That's the best part.
Oh, I didn't see that part.
No,
they just,
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay,
I have
you're
no
kidding.
Idea.
No, but it's you know, maybe they're the type of couple that has goals. They want to do it in here and do it there, do mm-hmm. it, you know, like a notch in their belt sort of thing.
Or they had a few drinks and they haven't been dating
Could've
very
been.
Long and they just couldn't wait.
Could have been. But, yeah, in a public stall, I mean, it says VIP, but if there's a stall that the security knocked on, obviously it's a public stall.
Right.
Right. Absolutely.
So,
yeah. And they were certainly it was other people in the bathroom were aware that they were in there and that they were going at it. So
why can't all the other people in the bathroom just keep it to themselves and
I
move on?
I wouldn't call anybody.
Honestly. Is it hurting you?
I would imagine that for a lot of people, and we thought it might be interesting. It's been a long time since we've done this topic. We thought it might be interesting to compile a list of unusual places that Kevin and Bean listeners have had sex. Public places where you've had sex is what we want to hear about at 1-800-520-1067. Places other than where you normally would have sex, you know, in a hotel or in your home or
car. You don't have to get caught and you don't have to be seen. I mean, these
right.
people weren't even seen. They were just reported
right.
by basically the noise, I imagine.
Yeah.
But if you were at the, you know, the top of the Washington Monument or something or in the, you know, or, you know, any place else of note that you want to tell
White
us
White House tour,
you know, right. in a police station. I mean, we want to hear your stories. If you have an unusual location that you've had sex, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Should be some fun stories. But I would think for a lot of people, they would lose their nerve, A, and B, there would be too much pressure, too many other distractions in order to be able to either A, perform, or B, enjoy said activities, right?
Maybe that's why the woman could leave the restroom and go get a security guard and then have him come back and they're still there. Maybe he could just wasn't performing.
Maybe so.
Come on, but hurry up.
Lisa, I feel like you're the expert in this area
well,
of our
I am.
Program.
Yes.
I would think that you would be too afraid of being caught to really kind of let loose, and that would make for lackluster public sex, no?
Well, I think sometimes it's sort of like getting the giggles in a place where you're not supposed to laugh, like church.
Right.
It's so delicious.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and it's so hard not to laugh. So, like, you're in a place like that, and you're trying desperately not to make any noise, and it just sometimes it just makes it more fun.
Although part of the fun, too, for people like this is the thrill of maybe getting caught.
Well, if they're... If they're voyeurs, absolutely.
Or exhibitionists.
Or exhibitionists, rather. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's kind of the charge of it is we're not supposed to be here and there's some peril. And it's, you know, there's a lot more excitement than just being at home where no one cares whether you're having sex.
So you
not.
Run to the VIP bathroom and you say,
F me.
Sure.
F me. And then you better do it.
Quickly.
That's right.
1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Cynthia as an example online, too. We're looking for unusual places that you've had sex. Cynthia, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Where was it?
So my boyfriend at the time, who I'm happy to say is now my husband, we'd been dating for probably 2 months.
Okay.
And we went to Disneyland with a group of friends. And it was about 10:30 at night, and most of the Fantasyland rides for kids were shut down. And we found a nice little place right by the Dumbo ride, and we did it standing up right behind the Dumbo ride.
Right behind the Dumbo ride.
Nice.
By the way, I love that it was in Fantasyland. That's awesome. But secondly, I bet we could do nothing but calls of just people who have had sex at Disneyland. That seems to
That's
be...
That's true.
So popular with, I mean, people want to do it just because they know it's the exact opposite of what Disneyland is all about, right?
Oh, yeah. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And then.
Did you get caught?
Did
you get caught at Disneyland?
We did not get caught. But then later that evening, we did it again, but a different sex act on Peter Pan.
Wow. What a night.
She's trying to notch up every single ride there is at Disneyland.
Did it. All right, Cynthia, you're awesome. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Where'd you do it? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm a woman with a strong sexual appetite.
Right.
I'm like a caged peacock yearning for the wind on her haunches.
I understand, and that's why sometimes you just have to do it. No matter where you are, when you get the urge, you got to go for it. Like the couple that was escorted out of the VIP bathroom at Staples Center a couple of nights ago. We're taking your calls on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. The unusual place that you did it. Let's talk to your friend Marie down there on line 8, Kevin. She sounds like a goer.
You know, she's my friend. I mean, I hope after the call and all, but
because you love her.
Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Had sex in a strange place. Where?
At the Rose Bowl.
At the
During a UCLA game or what?
No, actually, we had a friend that took care of the grounds, and we were all hanging out, and he went home, and we stayed behind and took advantage of that situation. So,
oh, so you were on the field?
Yeah, well, we started on the field, but it had just been wet, so, you know, we had to move over to the side. But, yeah, we were right in the center of the stadium at the yard line. It was pretty awesome.
But I would imagine that you would be looking around, and there would be – you can't keep track of everything that's going on in a venue that big. Weren't you worried that there was somebody somewhere who was just sitting back and just watching the show?
I guess that was the risk we were willing to take. How often do you get an opportunity like that? I mean, it was at night, but, I mean, of course, it's probably security guards. And
At least video cameras, by
right?
the way.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Marie. You're awesome. Let's go to Don. He was on a different kind of field. He's on line 5, and he's up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Don, where did you guys do it?
Hello, Don.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, it's John. Sorry.
Hi, John. Sorry.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Lisa, how you guys doing?
Good. Hi, good.
Where'd you do it?
Had sex on a paintball field.
On a paintball field? During a paintball game?
We had just gotten done with the game, but the fields around us still had games going on. So, yeah, we went ahead and kept the goggles on while we were going at it.
If I see that and I'm loaded, I'm firing on you. You know
Absolutely.
That, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were trying to be as discreet as possible, but there was a lot of sounds going around, so we tried to make it quick.
All right.
That is very funny. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. Let's go on to Sarah. She's on line 4. I think she's getting into fantasy land for a lot of people here. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling.
Hi. How's it going, guys?
Very good. Thank you.
I had sex in one of my college classrooms during finals week.
In one of your college classrooms with your instructor?
No. We just started dating, and none of our friends really knew yet. And so we had, like, a study group going on. All the classrooms around us are full. And we were the last two people left in the room, and this kind of happened.
So that's what happens. Did you get caught?
No, thank God. We actually heard the campus security walk by while we were going at it, too.
Wow. Awesome. Was the door locked, at least?
Yeah, it had been locked from the outside, and so luckily no one could come in, but it was pretty sketchy. You could hear people walking by the whole time.
Good times. All right, Sarah, thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
They had crazy intercourse.
Yes, they did. Let's go to Mike. He's on line 3. I think he's got a couple of locations for us, Kevin.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? How you doing?
You're a serial having sex in other places person? Good question.
I kind of love it, man. Big deal already.
All right.
My first place one was behind an ice machine in Vegas.
Ice and soda and stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
And did they freak out?
No, they didn't even know we were back there.
Really?
Yeah, kept at it the whole time.
You're just like, and hold. Okay, it's clear.
All right, that's location one. What's location two?
Location two is during the day, me and my ex went on a hike to the Hollywood sign. And there was a bunch of tourists, but we snuck off to the side and did it there as well.
Uh-huh.
And actually, a group of them walked back on the path that we were on and found us.
And complained?
No. They were like, oh, you stole our idea.
That's pretty strong. You're in some tourists' photos of the Hollywood side. They're going to go through those years from now, and they're going to go, wait a minute, what's going on here in the bushes underneath the letter O?
Is that a white ass? What's happening?
All right, let's do one more. How about Lucy on line 1? I was saying earlier that there may be some distractions that would keep you from really enjoying it. What about a location that doesn't exactly lend itself to sexy time thoughts? Lucy, where were you?
At a cemetery.
Okay.
Sunday afternoon.
What's going on with you?
In a cemetery during the day?
Yes.
Okay.
I was visiting a family member, and I was with my girlfriend at the time, and we were just really intense with each other. And we were driving up, saw somebody studying, and we were like, okay, let's go look over here and just look around. And it was up at the top in, like, one of the private areas where you get more than one burial plot. And
right.
We went in there, and we were sitting down talking, and we just went at it.
Now, did you say you were there to visit a family member's grave?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem like that would be a little off-putting for sexy thoughts. I mean, weren't you kind of in a mournful, reflective mood?
Not at the time. No, not at the time. You know, we were just there and, you know, just visiting. And then we decided to continue on. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't the moment. We weren't there to do that. We were just talking. And
right.
We just went at it.
And that's how your dad or uncle or whoever's grave you were at, you knew they wanted you to do that, right?
I'm not sure if they wanted that. I'm not sure if we did, but it was great. It was, I guess it was more intense since it was Sunday afternoon and just...
Yeah.
You had an idea, is someone going to come in, is someone going to walk in, and...
Sure.
Nope, no one did.
Were you in the grass or like right there on the grave or what?
We were on the grass. There was a plot, but it was empty. So nobody was.
You thought.
So it was empty. We weren't on top of anybody. It was just us.
Well, somebody was on top of somebody.
Yeah, but we weren't on top of somebody.
Gotcha.
We were on grass.
I see. All right.
All right, Lucy. Well done, my dear. Thanks for the call.
I'm relatively sure we have the best listeners that there are.
I think so.
And that proves it. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, and it is 5 minutes till 8.
One of our favorite people in the whole wide world, Luke Robitaille, president of business operations for the Los Angeles Kings, joins us in studio right after the top of the hour. First, though, one of our least favorite. Here's Ralph Garman with the showbiz beat.
Sacha Baron Cohen.
One of our most favorite.
One of our most favorites. In early talks to star in the sequel to Alice in Wonderland. Disney's putting together a sequel to the very successful Johnny Depp film. And Disney plans to use the sequel to kick off their summer of 2016. Tim Burton will not be directing the sequel, however, but apparently many of the people involved in the first will. So no word yet on who Sacha Baron Cohen would play. I can't imagine it would be the Mad Hatter. I guess they'd bring Johnny Depp back for that if they could.
I would think so, unless they can't, and they already know that.
Then that would be a great choice.
My preference, dog style.
How great was he in Anchorman 2, by the way, Sacha Baron?
He was fantastic.
Spoiler alert, he makes a little cameo in there. I'm not ruining anything for you, but very entertaining. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, sadly, are announcing they will not be tying the knot in Marie Antoinette's old place.
Really?
Of course, that place being the Palace of Versailles.
Right, there's that.
Outside Paris, where the royal family of France lived during the French Revolution. Apparently, they really wanted to, but the French, having taste, denied their request on the grounds that it would be intrusive for visitors and staff and the country of France and the world and the universe and God.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a good decision.
So they said, no, that
shouldn't be happening
here. I was
expecting the rest of that sentence to be, Ralph, that they thought it wasn't fancy or big enough for them.
Well, that's a possibility, but they won't be getting married at the Palace of Versailles, which makes that VFW hall around the corner then looks very appetizing now.
Doesn't cost much either.
It's hard to book a place, you know, this close in, so they might have a hard time finding it. Cuba Gooding Jr. It seems like just a party in a box.
He does,
it's just a good time.
Yep.
He was in fine form on Sunday night. I don't know if you guys saw the SAG Awards or not.
Did not.
But he leapt up on stage while Ben Affleck was wrapping things up to grab the microphone to wish everyone a happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Okay.
Which I thought was nice. And then afterwards, while everybody was partying, he brought traffic to a stop on Sunset Boulevard when he was walking out of a party and saw the mechanical bull at the Saddle Ranch across the street.
Right.
And then ran across the street, stopping traffic in Sunset because he decided at that moment he had to ride a mechanical bull.
He has no impulse control,
no,
I don't
he
think.
Does not. He's got a little Kevin in him, I think.
How?
Let's go ride the bull! Come on, let's go ride the bull! And then just ran across the street, stopping traffic because he had to ride the bull. That's such a Kevin move.
How dare you?
Quentin Tarantino has announced he will not be making his next film, The Hateful Eight, as announced, because the script has leaked out on the internet. And anyone who's interested in this film is downloading it and reading it. And that kind of takes the fun out of giving people a new film when they already have read the script and they know what's coming. I'm very, very depressed, he said in an interview with Deadline.com. I finished the script, a first draft, and I didn't mean to shoot until next winter, a year from now. I gave it to 6 people, and apparently it's gotten out today. He gave it to several actors, Michael Madsen, Bruce Dern, and Tim Roth. And one of those guys had an agent who started passing it around, and the next thing you know, it ended up on the internet. It wasn't
now, Ralph,
Tim Roth.
You're a professional actor.
I am. Not, yes, thank you for
slumming with us.
Thank you for noticing
people.
That. Yes.
I thought there was something that they do, some way they treat scripts where they put some identifying mark on every page so that if it does, in fact, get copied, it's easy to tell where it came from, no?
That is usually on a polished shooting draft when they start to give it out and they do the casting, overall casting. They will give you a copy with your name embossed on it in a lighter print that shows up more so if it's scanned or Xeroxed, if it's copied.
Okay.
But I get the sense this was a first draft. And he gave it just to a few close friends.
Probably something he just printed off his printer at home and made copies of.
Wanted to get a read from some of these people, what they thought about it, and didn't take the necessary security precautions and got burned by it. So, look, if you're only giving it to 6 people, you pretty much don't expect any of those people in your inner circle to leak the script.
I would think
certainly not.
But Quentin seems to think it was an agent of one of his good friends who was an actor who ended up spreading it around. So, sad news. Because that sounded like a fun idea. An ensemble western about 8 gunslingers. Quentin would do that well. Today's celebrity birthday is Beverly Mitchell, the actress from Seventh Heaven, 33 years old today. Also 33 is the lovely and talented Willa Ford, Balthazar Getty is 39 years old today. Jazzy Jeff turns 49. Actress Diane Lane is 49 as well. Linda... Easy there, Stallion. Linda
Come
Blair.
On, Diane Lane. Who's with me, you guys?
Yeah, with a bell.
Very attractive.
She gets a bell, no question. But you don't need to break it.
But that bell is like from 1995 bell. That's a 1995 bell. That bell has traveled through time up to us now in 2014. Linda Blair of The Exorcist is 55 years old. Actor John Hurt, most recently seen as one of the doctors on Doctor Who, 74 years old. And singer Steve Perry of Journey celebrates his 65th birthday today. We were talking last hour about the fact that Journey has a remarkable situation on their hands. They lost their lead singer, Steve Perry, very identifiable voice, lead singer and frontman for the band Journey for all of its successful years. And then, through sheer luck, they ran across a YouTube video of a young man in the Philippines who was doing Journey cover songs sounding remarkably like Steve Perry. And they hired him to be their new lead singer. Now the band really has barely lost a step because they've carried on with this amazing soundalike who isn't just a great mimic, but a very talented singer in his own right named Arnel Pineda. So I wanted to play for you back-to-back to show you how remarkable the comparison is. This first, I'm going to play an entire piece of the song. The first verse is sung by Steve Perry, the original lead singer. Then it's seamlessly edited, thanks to goddamn DJ Omar Khan, who's brilliant, into the second verse, who is Arnel Pineda, the second guy. Okay, here it is. This is Steve Perry.
All right, so that's clip one. That's the real guy.
That's him. And then this is Arnel Pineda.
I gotta be honest.
How would you know?
The second guy sounds better than the first.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's the two live versions of that song, and obviously he's a young man with a lot of power behind his voice. But if I put those in a bag and just pulled one out, would you know who was the original?
Nope.
Pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable story. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Greatest left wing in the history of the league.
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it. I made it.
Unbelievable shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores.
Scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again, he scores! Luke Robitaille
just caught the goaltender sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille.
Hockey Hall of Famer Luke Robitaille is what your name is, sir, and he joins us once again on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, like he do. How are you, Luke?
Doing great. I love coming here. It's good we for love my having ego you, man. To listen to that tape.
You know what's funny is, not to date you, but there's no high-def footage of you. No.
There's no high-def.
It's all standard def in those tapes.
That's funny. So, Luke, what's it going to take? We were talking about this earlier before you came in. What's it going to take to get you back on the ice? Because this week your boys need you. Come on. What can you do for us?
It's not happening.
It's not happening. Okay.
The other day I figured it out. I go, I think I could play one shift. I could come back and play one shift.
So 90 seconds tops.
Oh, not even.
Not even
30 to 35 and pull a groin and get off.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between being in shape and being in NHL shape.
Oh, it's such a difference. I played hockey last weekend, and then you realize how hard of a sport it is. I forgot. I hadn't skated about 4 or 5 months, and I was like, oh, man, this is difficult. My little spin class is not good enough anymore.
Please never tell anyone that you're taking a spin class. I'm begging you. You're a Hall of Famer. You can't be caught in the spin class.
Right, exactly. So I'm always curious about this, Luke. We have a lot of ground we got to cover, including, of course, the big, big, big event at Dodger Stadium this Saturday night that we will get to. But you're president of business operations. You're a guy in a suit. Do you have are you still a guy that they use as a resource in the locker room? Like, do you ever go in there and talk to them or give tips or suggestions if things aren't going great?
I mean, yes and no, but I would say, like, the thing I know is the coach is the coach. So you always want to leave the coach to run the show and then the players, they kind of police themselves. But the one thing that I learned when I was a player is, I remember I was playing for the Rangers, and there were a few, you know, a few games, maybe I was going to say a couple of years, but I was saying a few games yeah. where, you know, I was struggling, and there was a player there, he was an alumni, and he was working for the team, his name was Rod Gilbert, he's a legend in New York, and he would come, and maybe four or five times he did it, he'd come by me, and he knew I was struggling, and he'd say, you know, that was a good play, what you did in the corner, he says, keep working hard, you're doing a lot of good things, it's going to happen, I never forgot how that made me feel, because it's just like, sometimes you just want to hear from a voice from someone, because your coach is on you.
And is that different from the coach?
Yeah, that's different from the coach, because the coach, you know, he's got to win and he's going to be put pressure on you in a different way. So what I try to do is every once in a while I'll try to go talk to a guy if I know he's struggling and if I see something he's done right. Because as a player, you know, if you make a little play in the corner or something coming out of the zone, those mean a lot for the team.
But that doesn't mean you get noticed.
Yeah, they don't get noticed when right. you watch the game, and they're not on a stat sheet or anything. But if a player, you start telling the guy, you're doing this good. So sometimes he might, because it's such a mind game when you play like a professional sport. Like if you start thinking you're a fraction of a second off, and you're going to struggle. And
yeah.
So I never forgot that. So I try to be more of that than anything else. Everything else, I leave it to the coach. It's their job.
What do you think about the goalie position? Because that can be brutal as far as being off by just a quarter of a second.
Yeah, and you're the last guy in the back. Everyone
right.
sees your mistake.
Right.
So, I mean, you can have the greatest game. You can stop 30 shots, and suddenly for one split of a second, you're not paying attention. It hits you and goes in the net, and everybody's like, what a loser. I remember
tough.
I wanted to be a goalie, and my dad didn't let me be a goalie because it's the toughest position by far.
It is. Speaking of goalies, that controversial non-call from a few nights ago, mm-hmm. what does something like that do for the team and their enthusiasm and their momentum?
It's a huge mistake by the referees. Obviously, they missed it, and I think everybody knows that. It's something that shouldn't happen.
Explain to people what happened that didn't see.
Okay, so it was about 27 seconds left in the game, and the Detroit player went to take a shot, and he went off of our guy's sticks, and they put nets behind the net to protect the crowd now. So anytime it hits the net, it's above the glass, you know, which is about 10 or 15 feet above the board. If it hits the net, you blow the whistle, the play's off. Because in the
right.
old days, it used to go in the crowd. So what happened is it went 30 feet up in the air above the glass, and it hit the net, and it came back, and everybody was looking. You see on the ice, most of our players saw that it hit the net because they put their hand up. That's what you do automatically.
Yeah,
they
point
to it. And our goalie was just kind of looking, and it hit his back and went in the net. So
what are the chances
oh
of that?
God.
Oh, it's a one in a million.
I mean,
it might never happen
you
again.
You might as well just go off and go, well, that was not our night. There's no possible way. If that's going to happen, and all four refs are going to miss it,
yeah,
it's going to bounce off your back.
It's never happened, and you know it's non-reviewable play. So
is that
going to
change?
I'm pretty sure now it's going to play. The league's going to make sure it never happens again. I mean, there's been a few times where it hit the net or kind of just really right above the glass and they miss it. But this one was so high above that you know, obviously, I'm sure they're going to work on something with some
right,
kind of
right.
review where if it hits the net, you know, it doesn't count. I mean, it's not even part of the rule.
It was such a bummer, too, because they could show it in slow motion, and you could just see it so unbelievably
oh, it's so high
clearly.
Too.
Yeah, so high.
You know what's interesting? This is the voice of Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's interesting is even with this mini slump, what is it, three games now, the Kings have lost. The team is so good in recent years that nobody panics anymore. We all know they're going to come out of it. It's just a question of, you know, a couple of breaks is all, right?
Well, yeah, we better start winning.
Yeah. Having said
you watch most
like
of our games.
It's not like you look at it this week, though, and go, oh, now the team sucks. I mean,
no.
Everybody knows it's just, you know, it's a little something here, a little something there is all.
Yeah, we play a very physical game. We have a heavy team, and it's tough to play against us all the time. So sometimes it goes into spurt. I mean, obviously, you want to start putting the wins back on track, and, you know, we need to turn it around now. But, you know, we believe in our team, and we have a great core of young guys. They have a lot of character, and we know they're going to turn around the Kopitars and Dustin Brown and Jonathan Quick and Drew Doughty. These guys, they're winners, and they want to turn around. And we got to make sure at the end of the day for us, like if you look at our league, you got to be in the pack. get in the playoffs. And once you get in the playoffs and the way we play, we can make a lot of damage.
Now, a lot of listeners are going to be upset with me for this, but wouldn't it be sweet if we looked back on the season and these next two games turned it around for us?
Why would they be upset?
Because we have Duck fans.
We have a lot more Kings fans.
No, we have a lot more Kings fans. Don't get me wrong.
You just went with the majority. Come on.
Anytime I mouth off about the Kings, I get a lot of Ducks hate. So that's just the way it's going to go. But you play them Thursday night there.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night is the big game at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, this is a big time of the year for us. I mean, we're playing the Ducks, which have been playing unbelievable. They've been so good all year. And so we know those games are big. And then we go right Monday. We play in San Jose, then in Phoenix on Tuesday. So our guys are not getting much of a break. They just came back last night in the middle of the night. Mm. And they're playing tomorrow night. So it's a tough schedule. But that's the thing. I mean, as a player, you love to play the big games. So you see you're playing the Ducks, and they've been playing really well. You know our guys are going to be at their best, and you know, it's going to be a fun week for us.
Luke, we had Temu on Friday. Temu's line from the Ducks was on our show Friday, and you should have seen Kevin just try to dance around all the questions he wanted to ask. As a Kings fan, it was very difficult for him to be polite, but he did a very nice job.
You were polite to Temu. He's a good guy.
I tried.
Good job.
He's a great guy.
I appreciate that.
No, but that's why I picked him. They said, who should we get? And I was like, Temu's really the only one I can stand, so let's go with him.
All right, a very quick break. We're going to be right back with more with our very favorite guest, Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings, right after this on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Los Angeles Kings versus Anaheim Ducks. It's going to be tomorrow night in Anaheim and then Saturday at Dodger Stadium. Yes, we are going to attempt to see hockey played in 80-degree weather. Luke Robitaille, how's that going to go?
Wait, let me back up one step. Whose genius idea was it to play hockey January 25th outside in Los Angeles?
Well, it was all of us.
And by all of us, you mean?
No, this is something yours, that for us, the Kings organization, we wanted. We know how big those games can be. And last year when the lockout was resolved, the league was thinking of doing a few other games, and we threw our name right away. And I think the fact that obviously we won the cup in 2012, and then we held the draft the year before. We sold out Staples Center on a Friday afternoon, stuck in traffic. And I think the league started believing to what LA could do to help the NHL, and they gave us the game.
Were you surprised when they gave you the game?
The story, I talked to one of the guys at the league, and I called them about 2 weeks after the I'd heard rumbling that they were going to do games, so I said, we're ready. He goes, are you ready for what? I go, we're ready to do an outdoor game. He goes, really? I said, yeah. And he says, well, could you do it next year? And I go, yeah. He goes, how about where would you want to do it? And I hadn't talked to anybody. I go, Dodger Stadium. He goes, are you sure? I go, oh, yeah, they'll want to. I know they're interested. So I hung up the phone.
You're just talking out of your ass at
that point. I hung up the phone. The next call was Stan Kasten with the Dodgers. I said, Stan, can we do an outdoor game? He goes, yeah, that'd be great, Luke. So I said, oh, thank God you said yes.
Why are you adding? What else is going on besides hockey? There's beach volleyball, and what else? There's some other nonsense going on that
well,
night.
Well, we got Jordan Sparks singing the anthem. We got Kiss before the game. They're going to do a couple songs. They're going to do a couple songs between the first and second period. Then we got Pfeiffer fighting with John, who's a huge Kings fan. He's going to be performing between the second and third. He did a video like of the Kings history, and I mean, maybe I shouldn't say the surprise, but he's got this song 100 Years.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
then they're
going to
tie it up with all the Kings and Ducks history. So it's really cool. They have the USC marching band walking in the players. I mean, it's going to be pretty neat. It's going to be typical LA show. It's going to be big, you know. And, you know, once you start the game, it's a game, and it's going to be an intense game because obviously we haven't played well, and we know the Ducks want to beat us. We need to beat them. But everything around it, it's going to be one of those moments where you're glad you're there because, you know, never know if it's going to happen.
It's a once in a lifetime event.
Yeah. Exactly.
When you play a team that's ahead of you in the standings, is it easier to just forget all of the distractions and just go, okay, this is a team we need to beat?
Once the game starts, like, it's going to be a big game. I mean, this is an important game, especially at this point. We haven't won as much as we want to, so now, like, suddenly, like, those games are really important for us. So I think before, like, during the warm-up and when the guys look around, they see 54,000 people. It's different because you're a player. You get in that stadium, it's going to be pretty big and pretty amazing. But once the game started, you just got to play. Especially with our coach, Daryl Sutter. He's going to remind them. This is a big
game. Mr. Excitement?
He's the best. Daryl Sutter is the best.
He is the best.
I don't know if you've seen any of his post-interviews after the game, but man, oh man, he's so dry and so – it just cracks me up.
Best reality TV.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, Luke, I have to ask again, what's the – help me out with the science of ice plus heat, though. Is that going to be a problem, though, for – I mean, is it going to be very wet or very slushy on the ice for the players?
No, it won't be a problem because – in L.A., you know, it gets cold at night. No matter what, it always cools down at night. So that's the reason we're playing at night. I mean, during the day, they protect the ice. I mean, if it's sunny during the day, they cover it, and they've been covering it all week. And then the minute, you know, the sun goes down here, it always drops 10, 15, 20 degrees. And, I mean, I know the last few nights it's been still in the 70s, but normally we're in the 60s, and hopefully Saturday we're in the 60s. But it actually, I think it will be like perfect weather for the guys. I mean, there's nothing better than playing at that temperature.
Would it be? Oh, it's gonna be fine.
Would it be way too hot?
No, you're not listening to me.
No,
it's gonna be at night
for
it
the
cools
guys.
Down.
I mean, no, I know, but
you're still not listening to me.
I never listen to you. No, but I mean, no. Staples Center is freezing.
Yeah, but it's still – Staples Center is probably – start when you start the game, it's around 62, 63 degrees. By the time the game is in halfway through, it's in the 70s, the building,
a lot
of times. So it's about the temperature they play normally.
Luke, I know you have to literally walk out the door. You got another meeting to go to. But I just want you to say a few words because it was so great at this announcement at Dodger Stadium the other day to see your friend Wayne Gretzky back in L.A. Yeah. and representing the Kings. And, I mean, it brought back such a flood of memories. I mean, the Kings would not be here today and would not have a Stanley Cup if it weren't for Wayne Gretzky, right?
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, Wayne is so much bigger than a game. I mean, he's the one guy, if you talk to anybody in the world and you say, do you know hockey? They probably say no, but they all heard the name Gretzky.
Sure.
It's amazing how everybody knows Gretzky. And for us, he's like our Babe Ruth. He's the guy to represent the game. So for him
Living
to come
legend.
Back. Yeah, exactly. For him to come back and be involved with us and with the NHL in this game is great. I mean, I can tell you for sure there probably wouldn't be a team in Anaheim. Not sure there would be a team in San Jose and Phoenix.
Is that right?
When he came here, everybody started saying, oh, okay, now hockey can be alive in the southern states. And, you know, you look, I remember we used to do preseason games. Like everything was around Wayne in the early 90s. We would go to Miami. We'd go to Tampa Bay, Texas, Dallas, I mean, Houston and Phoenix. He was the one doing all the preseason game there. I mean, I was just playing part of it. But they were all promoting Gretzky. And all those teams came around that era, like 2-3 years later.
Well, it was wonderful to see him out there with you, you know, standing side by side with you at this announcement the other day. And I know he's going to be there on Saturday. It's going to be so much fun. A pair of tickets to see the Kings take on the Ducks Saturday at Dodger Stadium. It's part of the 2014 NHL Stadium Series. If you would like these, and why wouldn't you want to be there for a piece of history? Call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Caller 15. You win right now. Luke Robitaille, we know you got to go. We love you, brother.
Thanks
for coming in. I miss Luke Robitaille.
He just left. I love him so much.
Yeah, he is
the best. He's just, some people are just so fun to be around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All right. One of those people that I would love the opportunity to be around, and I don't say that at all in a creepy way, but she's just phenomenal, is Jennifer Lawrence, Oscar-winning actress Jennifer Lawrence, who we all love. Isn't she just the best?
Well, she does great projects. She's a good actress.
Mm-hmm.
If not
but
great.
She's always super fun, like at award shows. She always gives great speeches, and she just seems like a regular person that you could hang out with and have fun with.
I agree.
And she reacted like a regular person on the red carpet a couple of nights ago at the Golden Globes when her favorite TV show was spoiled for her. And, of course, this is a topic that we bring up from time to time on the show because what is considered a spoiler alert these days when everybody's consuming their shows at different times in different formats? Some people are streaming. Some people are waiting for the DVD. You know, some people, you know, not everybody's watching it the night it airs.
Right? Here's what we decided on this show based on listener calls and stuff. If it's a live event, say a sporting event, sorry. Spoilers are going to happen. There's just nothing you can do about it. If it's a popular show like Walking Dead, maybe you give them a couple of days, maybe up to
and we
a
say
week,
spoiler alert.
Maybe, yeah.
Right.
For that.
We try not to spoil anything.
Right. But if you're going to wait for an entire season to come out on DVD, that's on you.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, really.
Well, Jennifer Lawrence sure doesn't see it that way because listen to how mad she gets. This is funny tape. Sean Robinson is interviewing, along with someone else from Access Hollywood, they're interviewing people on the red carpet at the Golden Globes the other night. And Jennifer Lawrence is there, and she sees Damian Lewis. like 6 feet away. Now, Damian Lewis is the star of Homeland, and she loves that show. So that's how the tape begins.
Okay, somebody's got a crush on somebody.
No, somebody has watched the two episodes or two seasons of Homeland twice, and I'm freaking out a little bit.
You've never met him before?
That is Brody. I've never met Brody before. Oh my God, I can't.
Okay, you want to meet him now?
No. Be cool. Okay.
Isn't it funny, by the way, who Jennifer Lawrence, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, just becomes a giddy little schoolgirl crush?
You want to meet him?
No. Be cool.
She just acts like anybody else would. Like, people act around her is how she's acting around Damian Lewis.
Don't stop looking. Stop it. Stop doing that. Stop it. Seriously, I'm not good. No, stop.
It's like, it's great.
So now they bring over Damian Lewis. Right? So now she's being forced to meet him in front of everybody on the red carpet with cameras, and she's just falling apart.
It's like a double interview.
It's her show ever. Oh my God.
By the way, give it up for Damian Lewis, who sees Jennifer Lawrence. It's his first thing out of his mouth is, let's cuddle.
Let's cuddle.
So he's making the right decision.
Oh, you're so sweet. This show's amazing. My ears are so red, aren't they?
You're in front of my head. That's weird. Turn it down. All right, you're good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
How old am I?
How old are you? I just hugged a 9-year-old. What?
Okay, so they're making a small talk and they're having. I know, that's what she thought he said. All right, now the other reporter who's not Sean Robinson, she's the one who's not usually on camera, so I don't know her name. She's about to blurt out, and I got to give a spoiler alert warning here for people who haven't seen the most recent season of Homeland. She's about to spoil Homeland for Jennifer Lawrence, who hasn't seen it.
How old are you?
Are you upset that he died?
You know they killed him off.
They killed him off. What?
They killed him off on the show.
Now don't tell her. She's just a spoiler.
Oh, my gosh.
No, they haven't.
No, they really have.
These two are crazy.
I can't process this right now, and I can't. There's cameras, and I have to.
These two are crazy.
Okay, so Jennifer Lawrence, who was laughing it up, now you can just tell complete demeanor change. She's not joking when she says, I can't process it right now. I need to stop and think about this.
And he's trying. Damian Lewis is trying. He's like, no. I'm still alive. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely. And she realizes and just said, I'm standing here on a red carpet with cameras on me, and what I want to do is hit you in the fat face for spoiling my show for me. But she knows she can't do that.
They've been doing this all day to everybody.
I can't believe you said that. I said the first and second season. I haven't watched the third season. I have to wait for it to come out on DVDs because I'm not patient. I can't believe you did that.
By the way, she sounds pissed, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She does. And let me ask you this. I think it would make a difference to me if somebody said they've only watched the first two seasons. I mean, they're giving you information up front.
So it's not like
she's walking in on a conversation that's already going on or they're talking about Homeland. She actually told this person that. And I imagine the person that said it thinks there's no way that could be a spoiler at this point.
And understandably so. Right, exactly. And the person who said it, by the way, is the one who was interviewing Damian Lewis 6 feet away. She isn't the one that Jennifer Lawrence said, I've only seen the first two seasons.
So she didn't know.
But now Jennifer Lawrence just wants to cry is what she wants to do.
I don't even know what to say.
She's just shaking her head. She's looking at the ground. And there's Sean Robinson because she realizes she's part of it.
Are you okay?
Sorry. We're so sorry.
She's only seen the first and second season.
Oh, God.
So
I have to wait for them to come out on DVDs because I'm not patient.
Are you crying?
I'm.
You have such extraordinary emotional access.
This isn't good.
Okay.
This isn't good.
We're going to have to ask me something else.
Good luck.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
All right. So Damian's gone.
You're awesome.
Okay.
I can't even look at you.
Don't be mad at me. I got one more thing to show you.
Past mad. It's this weird other emotion mad isn't it.
I'm so sorry. I have made Jennifer Lawrence so mad, but I'm going to show you something.
I feel like my heart just fell out.
She's not mad. She's in a whole nother emotional state. So Jennifer, somebody ruined Jennifer Lawrence's life, you guys.
But this is what we love about her, is that she doesn't try to play it off and be all show busy.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
right. She doesn't have that show busy filter, which I think is really refreshing.
It is. She's definitely a real person. I love her even more, but I'm very sad for her.
As am I. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock, and it is 8:56.
Adam Carolla joins us right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. In the meantime, his former roommate Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
There was a time when Rihanna used to make music. Now, of course, she has a full-time job smoking pot and showing off her cans. That's her new profession.
I'm a fan of all of the above.
And she does it once again, apparently in the new Vogue Brazil, the Brazilian edition of Vogue, where she is posing for the magazine wearing gold bikini bottoms, and that's it.
All right.
Rihanna gave her followers on Instagram a sneak peek of the shoot, where she got to paddleboard and smoke pot and show off her breasts.
All right.
Which is her kind of gig.
But she has excellent taste in men, though, right?
Yes, yes, as always.
Lady Lahar!
Speaking of excellent taste in men, she's announced at the Sundance Film Festival this week that she's making a new movie called Inconceivable. I do not think this word means what you think it means. She was also in London recently, and word is leaking out from a stylist there named Tatiana Carolina that Lindsay put out an emergency call to her because she had a red carpet to appear on and had been partying hard.
Uh-oh.
The night before, and needed some help to get her back in some sort of shape for the photogs. Now,
that seems
does not mean drinking, boozing, just out late at
lifting weights,
all the clubs and stuff running. And everything. She's known to go to clubs now and not drink. So,
okay.
Just because she was beat up doesn't mean necessarily that she was boozing. As far as we know, the rehabbed starlet is still on the wagon.
Okay,
so that's good news. Also like good news.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Ralph, but I was just thinking when you're talking about Lindsay's comeback, I feel like they kind of missed the window of our interest in rehab Lindsay by not putting that Oprah reality show on. That still hasn't aired, right?
They're still filming it.
Oh, are they? They're still making it. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm sure there'll be a big publicity push once it's ready to be aired. Good news is that NBC has apparently decided not to go forward with their Murder, She Wrote reboot.
It was just, last week, 2 weeks ago when you mentioned it?
Or 4 or 5 months ago.
Was it that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was starring Octavia Spencer. She was going to play the new Jessica Fletcher. They filmed the pilot and have decided, let's not do that. I could have saved them so much money on that pilot.
You know what I'm looking at right now?
Give me a call. Give me a call. Give me an office over there in Burbank. Put me in the building. And then when you have an idea for like, hey, let's redo Murder, She Wrote. Then you come to me.
Check in with Ralph.
Come on in. Yeah, we're going to do a Murder, She Wrote again. No. And then you go back and look how much money we've all saved.
Love it. When you run things, man.
When I'm the vice president of show business, it's all going to be a different joint. And a former Parks and Recreation co-star, Rashida Jones, has a new series. She'll be playing the lead role in a new, sounds like a comedy to me, series called Tribeca. That is the name of her character's name. She will be a 10-year veteran of the LAPD, working in an elite squad called the RHCU, which stands for the Really Heinous Crimes Unit. So I'm guessing it's
honestly
a comedy. Yes, because that's what it stands for.
Ah.
It's kind of fun. Today's celebrity birthdays: John Hurt, most recently one of the doctors in the Day of the Doctor special over there on BBC, 74 years old today. Steve Perry, lead singer at one time for Journey. He was the guy singing on all their big hits, 65 years old. Linda Blair is 55. Diane Lane turns 49 years old, as does DJ Jazzy Jeff. He used to work with the Fresh Prince back in the day. Now he works with the French prince.
Is that right?
Yeah, just some guy who has a chateau.
Strange.
And he just goes, wick, 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 every time he wakes up. It's a very strange job, but he makes a good living. Balthazar Getty's 39 years old. Willa Ford celebrates her 33rd birthday. And actress Beverly Mitchell of Seventh Heaven is also 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you want a preview of what to expect on the Grammy Awards this Sunday night on CBS, stick around. We'll talk to Ken Ehrlich, the executive producer of that show, in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock. First, though,
Adam Carolla's on the line. A couple of great dates coming up in February, including February 13th at the Irvine Improv with special guest Greg Fitzsimmons. Tickets are on sale now through improv.com for just $25. And also, the Ace Man is going to be appearing with his friend Joe Coy in Las Vegas. The Big Mangria Live Podcast Party Show is going to be the Treasure Island Theater in Las Vegas, and that's going to be on February the 21st. Tickets available through treasureisland.com. Adam, I noticed your schedule is a little lighter than usual in January. Are you making the movie? What do you got going on?
I'm shooting this contractor show for Spike. We nail these bad contractors.
That is going to be funny. And I know that's debuting on Spike in spring 2014. And then you're making the movie. So it's another big year for the Ace Man.
Yeah, why not? How many big years do you have left in you if you really think about it? You got to make hay while the sun shines, Bean. And Bean,
oh, you should write that down.
Make hay to feed your menagerie.
You should write that down. Adam joins us every week on the Kevin and Bean Show for a feature we call This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at three, work my way up to number one. But first, real quick, when you get the guy from the Grammys on the blower, ask him how he ever coaxed LL Cool J out of his cave to host an award show. I mean, that's unheard of. It's like getting Woody Allen to show up at the Oscars. That was a coup. That was a get.
Why do they keep letting him host award shows?
He is going to preside over his own funeral. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we live long enough to see LL going to the ground, he will speak first at his own funeral. It's just the laws. All right. Starting at three. Oh, I had this one the other day. I was on the pot in my bathroom, and I had the knock and the door open simultaneously with the nanny, and it was the move. I think we've talked about this before. You're supposed to knock, and then you have to wait for a response.
Well, at least to give it a couple of beats, sure.
Yes, the response would be, excuse you, or I'm on the pot, or my anus is dilated, or something. Well, no, I don't know. That's probably a little wordy. I might just say, excuse you, or I'm in here, or you who, or something. She did the knock and enter. Not the knock, the pause, and enter, just the knock and enter. I feel like people have a knock and enter. I think it's a nursing thing or something. Mr. Jones, are you in there? And they just come walking.
Yeah.
Anyway, of course she found me on the pot because there was nothing I could do in the 0.3 of a second of a window she gave me before she did the knock and enter. And I'm just saying, people, here's the deal. Why are you knocking? Because all you're getting is an ass clinch and a look toward the door so we can lock eyes. Why don't you just kick it open with the ball of your foot and yell freeze and do like a shoulder roll? Like, why are you knocking if you're not going to stop and wait to see if there's a noise that comes from the other side of the door?
Right.
Adam, right. I don't mean to argue with you, Lord knows, but there are locks on doors, and you can lock the door.
I know, but one feels like when one is in one's house making a number two, one should not have to lock one's own bathroom door.
Yeah, I think decorum dictates that you should expect a level of privacy in your own bathroom.
Is decorum a new black guy you added to the show? Put him on the phone if he is. I'm going to settle his ass. Number two, speaking of decorum, I thought it would be time to brush up on my bathroom etiquette rules just to make it simple for around the house and when you have parties and all that stuff where people get confused and they're not sure. Door shut. Somebody is in there. Do not go in.
Right.
Door open. Waltz in and do your thing. Door ajar, enter at your own risk,
okay.
And door ajar with the fart fan blowing, go down the street and crap in an alley. You want nothing to do with that war zone. And last but not least, I don't know if you guys are as confused by this as I am. I realize, you know, a couple years back, we dropped the whole color, danger, terrorist, alert chart thing we'd been using for 10 years.
Orange level and red level and all that?
Right, because orange was no more inherently dangerous than brown or magenta or chartreuse or whatever it is. Nobody could figure out what it was. So somebody just, and by the way, they would just say orange and then they'd say heightened level security. So what the hell we need the color in there for?
Right.
Anyway, you just said heightened level security. If you just left it to the colors, we'd all be confused and running in circles or not going to the airport. And I realized, you know what? You know what else? It's time to retire the Super Bowl Roman numerals. We are now on XLV11.
Yeah.
I guarantee you if Nero or Caesar was alive today and I said, look, what's XLV11 mean, Caesar? He'd be like, that's Super Bowl 226. I don't know. I didn't study. I was too busy getting laid.
Is that the only part of the English language that has left is kept over like that?
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
And how many of the players, like if let's say we just jumped ahead in Roman numeral land 2 Super Bowls.
Okay.
And showed it to every single player on every single team. Who was on both teams in the NFL or in the Super Bowl or all through the NFL, would they know what year it was?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
It's confusing. Let's get rid of it. It's archaic. We don't need it anymore. By the way, what are we going to do, offend the Romans? They're going to send their legions after us with their spears and loincloths?
But wait, do we have numbers that correlate to that?
Well, whatever it is, it's Super Bowl 51 or whatever it is.
Oh, I see. All right.
I'm just saying that we just call it what it is. I mean, we don't have Roman numerals for the Grammys or the Oscars, do we?
Nope, we don't. That's
all right.
That's a
are
great
we confused?
Point.
When someone says it's the 55th annual Grammy Awards, you go, huh? Where are the weird V's and X's? I don't know what's going on here. I need to know.
I think that is a great idea, and it is crazy that there are some traditions we hang on to for no apparent reason, because if we were starting it today, believe me, we wouldn't be using Roman numerals. That's a great point, Ace Man.
Thank you.
You can see Adam Carolla on stage and should, along with his good friend Greg Fitzsimmons. That's going to be at the Irvine Improv February 13th. Tickets available through improv.com. And then Las Vegas Treasure Island Theater is going to be February 21st with special guest Joe Coy. That's a Big Mangria live broadcast, by the way. And Mangria is going to be available from every bar in the casino. And, of course, a meet and greet with Adam. Go to treasureisland.com. Ace Man, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
April Perez from San Fernando, thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You just won your way into 2 exclusive K-Rock Grammy pre-parties this Friday night. Young the Giant at the Grammy Museum, plus Fitz and the Tantrums at the Conga Room. That is going to be a fun night. You can go to K-Rock.com for more details, more chances to win coming up throughout the day. Ralph is here, time for the Showbiz Beat now on a Wednesday.
I heard Fitz is on some medication now. He no longer has the tantrums, so it could be Fitz and the well-tempered conversations.
Do we still have the file?
We do, actually.
Let's add that one to the file, shall we?
Kesha is going to have to find a new art project in rehab, according to TMZ.com.
Why? What is her current art project?
Well, she's in rehab, and she likes to keep herself busy, so, of course, she has been asking her fans to send in their teeth.
Their teeth?
Because she likes to make art with the teeth of her fans.
Yes. Okay. She made that necklace a while back.
She's made a necklace, bandanas, various pieces of jewelry, bras, you know, like you do with the teeth of your fans.
Teeth does not seem like a good bra material.
Well, depends on what you're into, I guess. Mm-hmm. But sadly, the rehab center where she is currently recovering has announced they have a no-teeth policy.
Way to ruin all the fun.
Can't mail teeth there. We can't accept human remains, they've said. There's always a risk. It could be of a biohazardous material, so we're not able to bring in anything that's real. No real teeth in the rehab, please. However, they have made an exception, and they said they will accept fake teeth. So if you have any dentures or bridges or anything that you want to send Kesha so she can, you know, lace it and make a necklace out of it like some freaking Cro-Magnon. Cannibalistic chud, then feel free to send those to her, because that's what she's spending her time doing in rehab.
Let me ask you guys this question. Lisa and I love Girls, the TV show on HBO, the Girls show.
Mm-hmm.
And one character gave another character in a romantic gesture for a birthday gift his tooth on a rope that she could then wear around her neck.
On a rope.
Wow. You know, chain.
It's a big
just
tooth.
Something.
It's a big
made
tooth.
It,
big shipping
made it a,
rope.
Made it a necklace, but it was a human tooth that came out of his mouth. Romantic gift or just creepy? Like, what's the level of the percentage of people who would find that a great gift, do you think?
Golly,
would that be attractive at all to you guys?
Probably just Kesha.
Kesha, yeah, would be the answer.
Not to me, no.
I mean, no matter how much you love the person you're with, if they give you a tooth on a string as a gift, I don't know that that does it.
No, I'm out.
There you go.
That's not okay. She loved it.
She loved it. The character on the show loved it, yeah.
Sure.
It's a show based in reality.
That's it for the teeth portion of our show. In movie news, Bruce Willis has been tapped to star in a futuristic action thriller called Vice. He'll play the owner of a resort that caters to the morally corrupt and depraved clientele. At this resort, people can try out their most perverse fantasies because they're doing it all to a bunch of androids. That's until one of the androids becomes self-aware and decides to take on the place and kill everybody and trash it. Loved this film when it was called Westworld.
What?
Hottie Amber Childers, who was seen in Two Guns and Ray Donovan and The Master, she will play the android, apparently, who snaps and starts to take people out.
I'm not a robot. I'm a unicorn.
That's what she says. Next thing you know, you got a horn where it doesn't belong. And it's the battle of the 90s sitcom reunions for the Super Bowl commercials. As I mentioned before, it's been rumored that Jerry Seinfeld and Jason Alexander will reunite and reprise their roles from Seinfeld. The two were seen at Tom's Restaurant in Morningside Heights, the exterior of which was used for Monk's Diner in their famous show. So it looks like they're filming a commercial for the Super Bowl. And now we've seen the tease that John Stamos, Bob Saget, and Dave Coulier will getting back together again. The team from Full House, of course, to sell us yogurt. So we'll have that going.
That's not yogurt!
Actually, it is. It's Dannon's Greek yogurt that John Stamos is the spokesperson for.
Okay.
Looking forward to the Full House yogurt reunion?
Not really.
I hope there's a big paycheck for Bob and everyone else involved. And Soulja Boy. You remember Soulja Boy, don't you?
Soulja Boy, I'm in it. Oh. Why me crack it? Why me roll? Why me crack that Soulja Boy? That Superman. That, oh. Now why me you crack that Soulja Boy? Now why me you crack that Soulja Boy? Now why me you crack that Soulja Boy? Now why me you crack that Soulja Boy?
Yeah, he was less than super this morning when the cops pulled him over.
Uh-oh.
For running a stop sign. Actually, he was the passenger in the vehicle, but they did some investigation, and they just happened to notice that Soulja Boy was packing a loaded gun in his waistband.
Just that?
They frown on that. He was immediately arrested and hauled off to a nearby jail. He's currently being booked, according to TMZ.com. Soulja has a history of run-ins with the law. He was busted for weed and weapons back in 2011, so, well, at least he kicked the weed. Now it's just the weapons. Today's celebrity birthdays. Beverly Mitchell's 33 years old today. Willa Ford turns 33. Balthazar Getty's 39. Jazzy Jeff, the DJ with the Fresh Prince back in the day, is 49 years old. Actress Diane Lane is 49 as well. Linda Blair turns 55. John Hurt, one of the doctors from the Day of the Doctor special from the BBC, a long, distinguished career. Remember him? Did you ever see the movie The Elephant Man?
Sure. Boy, love The Elephant Man.
What a performance he gave.
Love that movie.
He's 74 years old today. And singer Steve Perry, one-time frontman for the band Journey, is 65 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new show. Ralph, I'd like your opinion. We always have these conversations beforehand.
I would not want a tooth. I'm sorry. Different question?
Do you think we'll get calls on the topic of you shot yourself with a weapon? You shot yourself.
Accidentally,
sure.
I think there's going to be a lot of open lines.
Do you?
Predicting open
lines. You think
lines.
No calls?
I'm worried about this one, too.
Not no calls. I don't think there's going to be many.
There have been a couple stories in the news lately of people who have accidentally shot themselves, and we were just wondering if that's ever happened to one
but
of
aren't
our listeners.
Those people
we'll
in,
few,
our,
I'm sure.
In our audience, I mean, of all, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm concerned.
You're dubious.
I'm dubious. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, we're going to roll the dice.
Oh,
we're going to give it a try.
Shut you down. What are you going to do? Cry.
We're going to try it anyway. We also have Dr. Drew tomorrow. We have a brand
he
new,
shot himself once.
We have a brand new internet roundup.
Heroin.
And no, he didn't.
Yeah,
and
he shot himself up with heroin.
From the Vampire Diaries, which comes back tomorrow night. We have
dosing one of those teen moms.
He didn't.
He
didn't
trying
do that.
He was knocking her out to have a little fun time.
We have Ian Somerhalder on the program.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Talking
all right.
About the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
We'll see you then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Roger. Mm-hmm. We have to go.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cat's next.
Ah.
Right.
Oh, good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
right. Oh, no.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have to go. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's, thank you, Rodney. Thank you.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, we'll see you later?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We really do have to go.
Yeah.
Yep. We're out of time.
It's kind of like India.
Okay. Thank you, Rodney.